Welcome you to my talk, Drive-by SSL certificate creation with Nginx. During this talk, you will see what I mean by this, what I have in mind about an ID, what Nginx is capable of. First of all, about me, I'm Dominic. I'm working for a hosting company back in Switzerland, and we are, compared to German market, quite small, but we are in the top 5 of Switzerland, or top 4. Yeah. Everything is factor 10 smaller in Switzerland. Yeah. I'm mostly a developer there, doing a lot of back-end security ops stuff. Yeah, that's why I seldom have to fix something on the website. That's part of my team deal, but not mine. You find me on Twitter on Dear DOL or Dr. Dole. It's also my nickname. If you have questions, please ask right away. And don't hesitate to wait at the end of the talk. I came across a capability of Nginx when Cloudflare in 2004 or 2014 announced that they give away free SSL certificates for all. And they explained what they're doing. And I followed along the Nginx community. And because we used, within the web hosting company that I work for, we used the Nginx and the capabilities, the scriptable capabilities. And I thought that would be nice having such a feature. Recently there was a patch contributed by Cloudflare, and this talk is about this patch and the possibility. What this example shows, it's like this year is 2015, and if Proscon has a SSL certificate that's only for this specific domain, has no SAN or Wildcard certificate, they have to reissue certificate every year. The same goes for if you're a PaaS provider. Good example is Slack. Maybe some of you know Slack as a chat program. Each company has its own subdomain, and I guess what they provide is a wildcard certificate. What would be really nice is having a certificate on the fly generation per subdomain. Yeah, that's the whole idea behind, and I will introduce you the steps to build such a system. If it's reasonable, I don't know. It's more a technical challenge than it's not a real use case, but it could be. In the example of Cloudflare, it's a good example. About Nginx, written and spelled, pronounced and spelled, it's a different thing. Nginx itself, if you're familiar, little vote, who's more on the developer side and who's more on the developer side? Okay, who's is responsible for server stuff and deploying? Okay, it's like the majority. Then I skip this quickly. I guess you know the second most used web server. His properties are his high performance, low memory footprint. He's a web server. He's also a proxy, a load balancer. You can do caching. Since the new version 1.9, you can also do TCP proxying. That's a new feature that they introduced. They came along with HA proxy. The whole system is event driven and has an asynchronous design. It started in 2002, went public in 2004, and now in 2014, Nginx.com, the company, was built to have a professional support. The open source domain is nginx.org. The commercial one is nginx.com. think of Nginx, it's like Batman. He's like, he can do a lot of things, and he's great, and he's established, and he has all the good benefits and features. But what makes Batman really, really a superhero is that he has a lot of accessories that he can use. The same applies to Nginx. Nginx has quite a small core. Nginx is in the core is capable of like doing HTTP stuff, SSL stuff, but not much. Little bit of logging, a little bit of load balancing. But in the ecosystem around Nginx are the accessories. People build modules written in C to extend the capabilities or the belt of Nginx. A few example, I took out, it's really Wild Wild West. If you're looking at the third party modules, you see abundant stuff. You see stuff like a video thumbnail extractor or an upload process. That's actually quite often used, or a circle GIF that's generating GIFs on demand and resizing them. Drizzle is also a thing that's often used. It's a MySQL a possibility to talk to MySQL within the Nginx scope and talk to Redis as well. Another thing that's here's a little example that's actually two different third-party modules. This one is the Echo module. You can write Echo. That's not in the core, and it returns the value. And the other one, it's a Redis extension, because the first one was shitty. They built another one. With this example, you can set different value directly to Redis or read, and then do some dynamic load balancing or configuration stuff. Another thing is Nginx, because it's event driven. It has different phases or different stage during the start of a HTTP request, and then handling and finish it off. There are some steps in between. I left them out because they are mostly pre and post stuff, configuration read and write. The important one are the rewrite phase. In this phase, you could apply like different rewrites, how Nginx is behaving. Access phase, it's normal what you know about HTTP authentication. Try files is looking at the file system, content, is delivering content out of different file system, database, different backends. Log is, after the process is done, it's get logged. And then you can apply filters if the request is like at the stage where you can push back to the client. You can do filtering of the header and the body. An example you can see here, it's like the Echo example. It's in the content phase, and the set is actually in the read-write phase. And if you write a C extension, you have to decide in which event you hook into the Nginx core, and what are the changes you're applying. And because there are different modules, you can sometimes mess up stuff from other people. Then Batman would be nothing without Robin. Robin, in my talk, is Lua. Lua actually is a programming language. Lua is fast by design, not by design, but because it has a very, very lightweight design. It has a good example is learn Lua in 15 minutes. That's a web page. You can if you're familiar with programming, within 15 minutes, I can assure you are capable. The syntax is so easy. Embeddable is one of the features that Lua is famous for. Means, for example, Far Cry and a lot of game engine have the possibility to write modifications in Lua, and they expose different modification possibilities. You see embeddability also in the automotive industry, where you have simulations and then you can hook in. Lua is used in network switches as well to do packet filtering and on the fly script, giving the scriptable language possibility to hardware boxes. That's actually from the 50 minutes. It's not the whole part, but you see the syntax is quite easy. You have no types. You have it's numbers are always doubles, and you have double and single quote. You have multi-line. You have nil. If you nil something, it goes to garbage collector. Then you have loops and if else, and there are some other constructs. You have what you know from different programming language hashes or arrays. They have tables. They have no class support, like object orientated. You can do, people do stuff, but no rich functionality. It's mostly procedural programming. In the end, Lua is as well has a lot of accessories. Lua comes with a rich variety of different modules. They can be written in Lua or in C itself. What I mean by this, it's a good example for this is MVC. It's a web framework that's entirely written in Lua that you can use. Lua file system, it has some C extension to hook into the file system itself. C JSON as well. It's like a C JSON implementation exposed to Lua. What you also have in the Lua space is Lua Rocks. Lua Rocks is a if you're familiar with easy install, pip, npm, all these different package manager in every language. It's quite limited compared to other tools that I saw, but most of the time it works. It works because people are not depending much on each other's modules. Like the thing that you can see in the JavaScript community, like two lines of code is a known module and everybody inherits these two lines. And yeah, then you need like circle the dependency resolutions and conflict resolutions. Lua has only a little part of this. Lua Rocks is capable of like, compiling C based code. That's quite the nice thing. If someone ships C-embedded Lua functionality with Lua Rocks, if you have the right dependencies on your OS operating system, then you could install this module. And as always, there's an awesome language GitHub account where they have a lot of summaries about different tools and stuff about this ecosystem. Then there is LuaJIT, because LuaJIT was started as a project because the core or the language itself is so small. A guy, can't remember his name, started the LuaJIT project, and now you have the possibility to either use Lua or LuaJIT. As the name JIT for just-in-time compilers is saying, it's like if you run this code in a continuous way, it optimizes on the fly a lot of code. This is very useful, for example, for in a web server where you'd like to apply web application firewalls, like these rules have to be run over and over and over again, and they get a hot, they get hot, and they're optimized and compiled to machine code, and then they run, they say, 10 to 100 times faster than the normal Lua implementation itself. One of the main drivers behind it is Cloudflare as well, because now they ship, I don't know, like around 10% of the traffic worldwide. And if they could optimize Lua JIT by, I don't know, 5 or 10%, they gain a lot of capacity. Think of Lua JIT, it's like Robin on steroids. It's like... the also nice part about Lua JIT, it compiles on nearly all systems and all process architectures, and has it's binary compatible, means that you can switch from Lua to Lua JIT, and it has the same syntax and it works. But it works also on a PS3 or PS4, which is quite nice. One thing to remember or to take away, they are Robin and Nginx and Lua. Robin and Batman are two heroes, enhanced with a community, with tools behind it. That's the foundation for a safer street. But that's not enough. You have Nginx and you have Lua. Now we go to the part where these two are combined. And now we are at Nginx Lua, or HTTP Lua module, or the other name you can also find is Lua Nginx module. That's actually the Lua, the package name. That's the name on the documentation, and that's the GitHub name. It's kind of confusing if you're searching for the thing. It's all the same. What it means, it's like embedding the power of Lua into Nginx. Here is a small example. You'd like to get the content. Content by Lua means within these brackets, you write normal Lua code and it's get interpreted and you can, and it's printing out hello world. That's basically the thing that's the integration. You have a lot of these. You have init by Lua, init worker. Init is run once when the server starts, when a new master comes up. Init worker is when the master process forks a new worker process. You have set by Lua. In the previous example, you've seen set as a directive of Nginx. Now you can dynamically set things in the scope of Nginx. Rewrite access, content, log, header filter, and body filter. These are the phases where you can hook into Nginx and modify it by yourself. And it gained some attraction because you saw this wild, wild west of C modules. And people started migrating their code into Lua because the burden of maintaining a C extension in an ever-changing Nginx core was too difficult or too time-consuming compared to Lua that's always stays the same or more or less stays the same. And that's the reason why you see nowadays a lot of modules and stuff moving to the Lua world, and old stuff are ripped out or is dying off. Another thing that is possible is Lua by asterisk by Lua file. That means the difference here is you write this directly in your Nginx configuration. And here you can specify a specific Lua file. I always would recommend this way, because you can see the burden that you have with double and single quotes within within the Nginx configuration. There's a fix on the way, but need some time. And there's also another benefit. You can see it's Lua code. The Lua code normally, if it's embedded by Lua file, then it's compiled, meaning the Lua JIT compiles it into an optimized way, and then it's always interpreted from this optimized way. During development, this is your every single character that you change in the Lua file, you have to reload Nginx to get the updates into your Nginx. That's one of the tricks that you can do. It's that you, during development, disable the cache, and then you can edit right away, and you always see the new updates if a new request hits this Lua specific directory. Another thing, it's these are the parts where the Lua, the Nginx Lua API comes in. Means within the scope of Lua, you have to talk somehow to the web server, meaning that you need some API to talk to the outside world of Nginx. The first thing is Nginx Arc. It's something like you have on the console, on the bash script or in every other language. It's like parameters passed in. There's some situation where this is happening. For example, set by Lua, you can pass in parameters or in the filters, but that's rarely the case that you work with them. Most of the time you work with Nginx vars. A good example is outside, vars always has to be declared outside of the Lua scope, meaning that during the life cycle of a request, you could change the values. This is very handy if you have, for example, at this point, going to a proxy or to a proxy upstream and define the variable of the proxy. And in the Lua code, you could do health checks, or you could do a load balancing, or intelligently load balancing algorithm, and so on and so forth. If you set the variable in the right phase, then you are okay, then Nginx is performing like proxy stuff with this modified variable. Another thing is Nginx header. It's used to read and modify headers depending on the stage. If you pass the lock phase, you're not able to modify them anymore. Nginx status is the HTTP status that's sent back to the client. And Nginx context is also a handy thing. If you have to pass information between phases, meaning you have a rewrite phase that writes some information, extracted some information, and you need this on a content phase, you can do context. It means if you're familiar with Android, it's like you on an Android system, if you switch the view, you have to assign all the information on a context and then switch the view. Otherwise, this information are lost. And that's quite handy if you passing states or information along with different phases. Is that clear? Okay. Other things in the Lua API, Nginx Lua API, are the output stuff. We saw like Nginx say, send headers, and so on and so forth. You could do redirects, exit, sub-request. I come to this later. And co-sockets. I have some example about these two. Nginx Capture, it's a nice thing. What you could do, it's you could do like advanced cookie checking or spam checking. In this example, what we are doing, it's like we capturing during a process, we do a sub request within Nginx and waiting for the response. And then we interpret, this is like a HTTP request within a HTTP request. And you can do, even you can do multiple captures. There's a capability of doing parallel capturing and aggregating the information and sending them back. A useful example for this would be if you have a central login server, you could always use Nginx as a proxy, and he's checking against this login server, are these credentials sent by these clients are valid? In this, for this reason, I let him pass. Otherwise, I deny the access. An example that I used to implement was like a MailChimp newsletter. I wanted to have a custom newsletter subscription form, and normally and what I've done, it's like posting on my own website, capturing the stuff with Nginx. Nginx sends it to MailChimp server with the API credentials attached. They are actually within Nginx, and then I modify the response that I can differentiate between different errors on the front end side. These are the possibility that you could do with capture. That another thing, it's a CoSocket IP. A thing about Nginx within these phases, everything has to be non-blocking, and in the Lua sphere, normally you have these Lua modules, and then, for example, a simple HTTP or Redis implementation, and they use a blocking socket underneath. Meaning, if you use this library within Nginx, it's not going to work, because if a request comes in and you're blocking while waiting for Redis to give you an answer, every other request has to wait until Redis gives you an answer. And for that reason, Nginx request socket was introduced, meaning giving the user the possibility to do non-blocking socket connection, TCP connection. There are UDP connection as well, but had not much space on the slide. But what you have to do, it's implement a protocol on top of the socket. Meaning like, yeah. A nice feature about this is you can use keep alive, meaning that if you're not closing the connection, if a new request comes in, it reuses the keep alive connection. That's a handy thing to get more performance out of it. Good example are the Redis Memcache, MySQL, Postgre integration. DNS is actually a UDP implementation. What they look like, it's like you include the Lua Redis clients that's crafted for Nginx or work within Nginx, and then you do your normal manipulation, reading, writing. Then there are lots of more stuff that you could do with Nginx and Lua. For example, you have light threads. You can run some work offload. I've seen people doing a job queue within Nginx. That's a funny thing, because you have init by worker. You could do things with this part, and it's a strange thing in light threads. It actually works, but it's somehow scary. shared memory access, meaning that because you have one master process and you have a lot of forked worker processes, you could share a caching layer over all these worker processes, meaning that and that's the reason why there are some basic hashing algorithms within there to help with the cache. Also, regex is directly in the core for modifications and stuff. That's basically it. And there's some tiny little things that I never counted, and they are there. But it's not cluttered. It's quite small. But you have, with this capture and CoSocket thing, you could do a lot. Meaning that if you combine these two, you get a Batmobile. It's kind of cool. It's like you have Nginx, and then you have Lua. You could do a lot of programming. But the problem is you have to build it. It's an own module. You have some people wrote on GitHub a Redis integration. Some people wrote the MySQL integration. And that's where OpenResty kicks in. OpenResty, it's actually a combination of Nginx, LuaJIT. They used LuaJIT. They could also used Lua as well. Nginx Lua, I mean the integration, REST-y Lua modules and CLIPS, meaning like aggregating a lot of stuff from the community and packing it in the right space that you that you have a rich environment that you can start with, and a normal makefile. That's very handy. It's, you download OpenResty, make install. What it's doing in the background, it's more or less, first of all, it downloads LuaJIT, compiles it, embeds it in Nginx, compiles it with Nginx, and as Nginx with all the different C modules, Nginx C modules and Lua modules, and then place it on the correct system. A thing that's not happening at the moment, it's there's some, at the moment, no distro packages. What I normally do, I build distro packages myself. They are not that complicated, and I'm in touch with the creator of the OpenResty project. But he's so busy at Cloudflare. I guess I have to contribute stuff. There's also Docker image existing, but about REST-y modules, it's the REST-y modules. As you saw, you have modules coming from Nginx extending the Nginx core. You have modules coming from Lua extending the Lua modules with Lua or Lua C, and the REST-y modules, it's always a mix between, I don't know, it's also a little bit Wild Wild West. The OpenResty project try to only include modules that are well maintained, that work, that are tested. Actually, the testing of OpenResty is quite impressive. If you ever go on the OpenResty webpage, go to qa.openresty.org. They have heavy testing. And that's the reason I never had any issues and with OpenResty in our infrastructure. Another thing is, if you have to install things that are not bundled with OpenResty, please use Lua Rocks and install it on one specific path. And within Nginx, you then can include the specific path of Rocks into your current environment, and then use the installed. It's not very easy. You have to get used to it, but once you're used to it, you get it going. If you need a BMW, take Kong. Kong is actually an open source project from Mashable Ape. It's a kind of a how to, yeah, they do a lot of API, load balancing, authentication and stuff. And what they built, they call it microservice and API management layer. What they actually took, it's because OpenRESTy has the things that you can build your application on top of it. What they actually done, it's going a step further. And for example, what they included is a central login layer or JWT decryption layer and so on and so forth, central logging server, and meaning that in an ever-changing environment, you have an API where you can manage your Nginx configuration. That's kind of a neat thing. You can add SSL host, you can add host, you can add authentication information, you can load balance, shutting thing down. What they use is a Cassandra cluster on each node, and the information are shared in this. Yeah, best if you need something, and they have a pluggable system, meaning that like every 1 or 2 months they bring out a new plugin that you can enable or disable a little bit of configuration, and bam, you have a new API endpoint where you can manage X, Y, Z. That's kind of a cool and neat thing, and gained some attraction in the microservice Docker community, because that's a big deal to dynamically load balance thing without changing Nginx configuration. One thing to take away is use ready built tested solutions. Looking at OpenRESTy, if you'd like to be more on the basic side, or Kong, if you'd like more or less production ready stuff, take the fast lane in association with Batman and Robin. Take the fast lane of crime prevention. And now to the thing of my talk. What I was thinking, or I'm active in the OpenRESTy community. We use it within our company for different services. And recently there was a patch about SSL by Lua, meaning that you could secure your SSL connection controlled by Lua. And Batman and Robin, they have the same problem. Recently they were tapped, and now they have to introduce new mechanism to make them safe again on their phone. This is actually a patch. It's not right now in OpenRESTy. It will be. As I mentioned, the creator of OpenRESTy is quite busy at Cloudflare. What they newly introduced is SSL certificate by Lua and SSL certificate by Lua file. What it's actually doing is it's a step before the process even happens. That you could do SSL generation, SSL delivery, OSTP checking, stamping. There's a heavy discussion on issue 331 on the OpenRESTy project. There's at the moment a branch. You can compile it. What I've done, I took the OpenRESTy project that's doing all the compilation and stuff, and swapped out the because OpenRESTy is downloading Lua Nginx module. I swapped out this download with the download of this branch. And what I had to do, it's like at the moment you have to patch the engine core as well, because OpenRESTy downloads the Nginx core, downloads also the Lua Nginx module. And what I had to apply, it's like changing the branch in the download and patching the Nginx core before it's built. That's the thing that I had to do. It's not that tricky. Yeah. And the thing is powered by Cloudflare, meaning that they run this since, I don't know, 2013 or 14, I don't know. Meaning that it's definitely battle testing. That's the thing that's driving their SSL free for their customer. What they're actually doing is, they partnered with a CA, I'm not sure if it's Global Sign, and what they are doing, it's like combining a lot of domains, generating SAN certificates, and what they have to do internally, if a domain or a S, they only support SNI. If a SNI request comes in, they look up in which certificate belongs to this list of SANs, and they have to fetch their certificate from the backend. And because they have like around 30 to 40 data centers, they have to do this on a distributed way. They do it on the fly. Otherwise, they have to send a lot of SSL certificates across the globe. Meaning if I hit now here a Cloudflare instance that's not having my SSL certificate, it's get fetched on the fly. And it's kind of a neat thing. And I was inspired by this, and I can show you a demo about what I've done. Wait a second. Switch to the other screen. What my setup is the following. I have a Vagrant box running. I have a Vagrant box running with Nginx and my Lua code. And what I could do is, what I'm actually doing is the following. If the scroll is working, I open an SSL client connection to localhost, giving a server name, meaning a SNI connection, test.driveby.tld, giving a CA file, meaning that certificate authority file, for validation, meaning that checking the certificate that I get back, if this CA signed this certificate. And what we see here, it's verified, verification chain, and what I add dynamically generated by Lua at Saturday 8:40, because of time zones on my machine and in the Vagrant box, that's actually the 2 hours difference. If I hit it again, meaning I get the same, but a little bit later. Now it's 44. And the CN, the common name. If I change it, I take the short. Then the information are here. If I pass in another subdomain gleich, 2015, for example, then I get a new SN name, meaning the certificate is valid, but the Nginx core generated on the fly SSL certificate and then and is returning. The same I can show you with a fresh Firefox. Problem if you work with Firefox and install a lot of demo.drive by TLD. Yep. No, not working. Ah, yeah, now it's okay. The thing is that that's stupid. If I connect it to the internet, then the thing is, I have a DNS mask entry within the DNS mask set up within the network manager. And if I'm not connected to the internet, then DNS mask within network manager, it's not responding. That's kind of a bummer. Yeah, but what I wanted to show, it's like what you could do on a fresh installation of Firefox, you could add the certificate authority, adding a new certificate, and then I can go to every subdomain and I get a valid browser certificate or no warning. Is that example clear, what I wanted to show? Yeah. Yeah. Never mind. The actual code. Opa. No. Of course. Sorry about that. Not starting at the point where I left off. The code in Lua or in Nginx, it looks like this. You first of all, I include the module REST-eSSL. That's an extension coming from this SSL patch. Then I need OpenSSL for the whole certificate generation, key generation. P key means like there's a public key cryptography. Then I require a CSR, a certificate sign request. Afterwards, I load in the CA, meaning the certificate authority certificate. Load the thing from the file into an object that's actually the certificate. Then I could do manipulation on the thing. The same happens to the key of the authority, because with the key of the authority, I have to sign the new generated, certificate. What I then do, if it's not a SSL server name, meaning if it's not a SNI, if someone connects not with an SNI name, we drop out because of this limitation. Then I start with a new certificate request, meaning the subject. That means the region generated by it. And you see here, that's actually the date. It's always included. And from the SNI name, the SNI name will be the so-called common name. And what I then do is generate the new public and private key pair for the new certificate. Afterwards, I assign the key to the certificate and generate a certificate request. The certificate request then, from the certificate request, a new certificate is issued. Actually, I had to change this because Firefox is blocking. But this is the serial number, meaning that the certificate authority have to increase the number of the serial for each certificate they issue. Firefox is actually checking this. I had to do this morning a little bit of hacking to overcome this issue. Now it works. It's not actually the code on the server is not the same. A little bit modified, but it's It's more or less in the same thing. Then I set the time of the validation time, and what I then do, it's like taking this, the naming is wrong, this, meaning that the client certificate or the certificate is signed with the key and the certificate of the authority. And here is, that's actually where the magic happens. I guess in Cloudflare, it looks like this. The thing on the top is the generation and signing is somewhere offloaded. And meaning that the only thing that they do on the fly is capturing the response and a certificate on the fly and setting in it and caching it on the local server. What we then do is clear the certificate that we had in the Nginx configuration, set the certificate in the format of the DER, meaning a binary string, converting the binary string to the certificate into a binary, and the same goes to the private key of the public. The same goes for the private key of the new generated certificate. That's all the thing that you need to do. At the moment, it's a little bit of tricky to get everything right, but I think in the future you see a lot of application. My first idea was, at the moment, if you heard about Let's Encrypt, that's an initiative from Mozilla, Akamai, Cisco. They build an automated system to get you free SSL certificate. And my initial idea was going to an upstream server, to the Mozilla server, generating a valid public certificate, reissuing it on the fly, meaning that every time someone hits the server, I get a instantly valid certificate. I never have to think about reissuing or stuff. Everything I can write down in Lua. If someone hits the first time, he has to wait, I don't know, 2 seconds off or something, or I don't know, a minute, then the request responds, but the request afterwards, it's okay. Then, or I could do a cron job that is doing that every night. Yeah, that was the basic idea. At the moment, we are implementing this for our web hosting customers, and during this work, we saw that the API and the specification is changing too radically that I could adopt these changes all the time before the talk. I started with the adoption, and I ran into the problem that but actually, the OpenSSL project had a lot of issues. First of all, I had to fix a lot of C code issues within this project before I could go on. And that's why we have only a simplified version of that. Needless to say, securing in an ever-changing system is hard. But it's also possible that you can introduce like security layers or dynamic stuff on the web server. Yeah. At least you can try, but don't produce snake oil. One of the pitfalls that I learned during my years and also preparing for this presentation, if you do a lot of Nginx configuration modification, please always run service engine config test. I had sometimes the issue that I thought I had changed something, made a reload, but actually if you do a reload and you have config issues, Nginx is doing nothing and says nothing about it. It's like, and that's the reason why I always do service Nginx config test and then a reload. The same happens to if you do a lot of config changes. I have a when change is a little small Python script. If the file changes, I SSH into the server and do a config test and reload the server. I also fell into this trap, like the escape characters in Lua. It's percent or yeah, not very intuitive, but better than Ruby. And as I mentioned, always use Lua by file. It's easier to handle with and no escaping hell. If you'd like to read post-wars in an access phase, meaning like one of the rewrite or access phase, then you have to do an additional request head body, meaning that in the phase of rewrite and access, Nginx has not yet loaded the body or the post information. Tips and tricks, debugging in an Nginx environment, especially in a dynamic Nginx environment with Lua, it's not easy or actually hard. I was burned many times, like little pieces that, yeah. One of the things that I often do is like adding debug information to the header information, meaning like aggregating information. You could log all the information, but the thing is, on the log, sometimes on a busy server, it happens so much thing. What you could do, I have special tags, and if I specify this hidden tag, it gets me like debug output on a live server. Somehow, that's kind of a cool, neat trick. What you actually also could do is like generating a tracing ID, and then piping, giving this trace ID as a header parameter to the web server and then going through your logs. That's also a possibility. But I found the Nginx header dump the easier. And if you're looking for code or useful example, actually the OpenRESI project has very good tests. And for this SSL talk, I had to look many times in the code, because it's at the moment it's not yet documented, and there are some conditions where the documentation lack. Yeah, and I'm at the end of my talk. Thank you for listening. Are there any questions, regards, or concern about the stupidity about this project? Yeah, in front. Norman, what I do now, it's kind of a silly example. I generate for each request a new certificate. It's kind of stupid. It's not. But what you normally could do is offloading mining. As I mentioned, people doing worker daemons within Nginx, you could do the same. It's like if the first request hits the server, you could offload this to worker, then it's in his own worker, and it's not blocking the other requests. Yeah. But you could do, or, okay. No, they run under the Nginx user, meaning that I had to give world permission, or at least for the CEA, CEA certificate, I had to give permission to the Nginx user. Yeah, but normally you do this in a secure backend, and then you get. Yeah. Yeah. For that reason, I need the private key to sign. Otherwise, no. My use. yes, this use case, yes, but the use case of Let's Encrypt, for example, I go into an HTTP backend and they give me an SSL certificate. I could also program that I log in to the complicated website and do web scraping of global sign or something else. That's not limited to this because with Lua you have the capabilities. Yeah. But for this purpose, because I'm not a CEA, I have to trick the browser to accept me as a CEA. Yeah. But the initial idea was going to an official CEA where they have a REST API where I can issue. Yeah. Okay. So far, bon voyage, Kitty. And thanks to Agent CH, that's the guy behind all the RESTy stuff, and Cloudflare for their contribution. And hopefully we'll see some of you in the OpenRESTy, Nginx, Lua community playing around. Thank you so much.